Welcome to OK Sister. I'm Gabrielle Scout, Editor-in-Chief of Review.
And I'm Maddie Mayo, co-founder of Camber. And yes, we are sisters in real life.
Whether you are here for the sisterly banter, mindset shifts, or that familial feeling of coming home,
OK Sister Podcast is here to help you show up more for yourself.
Welcome.
We love you.
And let's go.
We have had so many ups and downs and turns and all the things. It hasn't been this steady growth, but this is my lifelong goal. I'm in it for the long term. This is what I want to do. I've even thought about like, what else would I do? And there's nothing. This is it for me. So I'm not looking at it as like, oh, okay, I've made it to 10 years. I only have another year to make it or whatever. Right. I feel like I'm like, oh, well, I've got another 10 years to like really perfect it and get to where I want to go. And I have new goals and new things that I want to do.
Welcome back to OK Sister Podcast. My name is Mads.
My name is Scout. And Madeline, you're looking a little like me today.
I am in all black, but I'm in a set, which makes it Mads approved.
Yes. Oh my God, you're wearing a kitten heel.
This is not a kitten heel.
It's a platform.
This
it's
is a, kit, a
it's a
block.
Kitten platform.
This is a block heel.
Courtney, is that a asking our producer? Is that a kitten heel?
This is a block
is
heel.
That, okay, is that a kitten block, Courtney?
It's just a
is that a flat, Courtney? It's not a flat. It's not a flat.
Okay, listen. It's a hybrid. I'm not wearing a fucking kitten heel. Relax. Okay.
You're wearing a
elevation. I'm cosplaying as Scout today.
I'm cosplaying as you.
I know, you really are. And it's because we had the founder of Whimsy Row. Well, it didn't even matter if Rachel was on the podcast today. I have this set in three different colors. Yeah. It's Whimsy and Row. You guys know that I'm a set girly. So yes. I love a linen. I'm in pursuit of being in a Nancy Myers movie at all times. So this is just the perfect outfit. And yes, I do look fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I have those black linen pants and I can't
You need
stop
to get the top. This is the Valentina top.
I asked Mads this morning, I was like, oh, should I wear my black set from Whimsy and Row? And she said, no, she didn't want us to look exactly like twins. So I'm wearing my Perry top, white,
cute,
oversized. It's like a button down, which is kind of a signature style of mine in the past, I would say, after this episode, we were talking about how white button downs are trending right now.
Yeah.
Always been a staple, I feel like, in my looks.
It's a staple, but it's just like everyone has it now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I was really excited because any chance I get to try on a new white oversized button down, I'm in, and this one delivered for me. So, but I'm looking like Mads because I'm in a white shirt and oversized light blue jeans.
Yeah, it is really jarring.
Yeah, we really have
We've role reversed. I think we should just get into the episode because it was so fabulous.
Yeah.
Rachel is also a sister. She has been part of the sisterhood forever. She's
meaning like she literally listens to this podcast.
Yeah, which is so
honestly, it's
fun.
The best when we have people who listen to the podcast.
Yeah, because they
as
get
guests.
The vibe. They understand. Yeah. And I've been a fan of Whimsy Row for so long because I've worked with them with Camber, and they're a local brand. It's just make the most high quality, sustainable clothing. And the Whimsy Row girl is us.
Like, yeah, yeah.
She is a sister.
Yeah. You introduced me to the brand earlier this year, so I am a new Whimsy and Row girl, but I talk about in this interview my experience when I first tried on the clothes, A++++. And funny enough, we have a connection because she's family friends with BFF Naomi, who's been on this podcast before, one of my best friends, Naomi. So it's like, it's always such a small world.
It always comes back to the sisterhood.
Yes, it always comes back to the sisterhood. You were super in your question flow during this episode.
What?
There was like a time when I like was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and watch you. And I didn't say much for like a good amount because you were like, you had the question. You had the follow-up question. You were interested. You were engaged.
I'm a Diane Sawyer.
You are. You were a Diane Sawyer on this episode.
I am the Gen Z Diane Sawyer. What can I say?
Okay, you're not Gen Z.
Guys, I am Gen
no,
Z.
No, you are like not Gen Z.
I'm on the cusp.
You are turning 30. Do I need to remind you? You are turning 30, which is like actually really jarring for me to think that my little sister is 30.
It's so I'm so ready. Like, I am.
That's
30.
How I felt. That's how I felt.
I am.
When you're 27, you don't want to be 30. When you're 29, you're like, give it to me, baby.
No, 29 is like weird. I'm ready. Yeah. I am on.
Yeah.
I'm on my way.
Yeah. I feel like that's a song.
I know. I'm on my way to my 30s.
Send me on my way. On my
way.
On my way. What was the other song we were singing this morning? On this
perfect day, nothing standing in my way. That song is just peak girlhood. Like, when
I just think of
that,
Legally Blonde.
Is it Legally Blonde? It's in every early 2000s rom-com.
It's in the first scene of Legally Blonde.
Right. It's in
every... She's getting ready to get engaged, and then she doesn't and get it, proposed
oh,
to.
Oh, yikes.
Not a perfect day.
Not a perfect day. Turns out. Turns out not a perfect day. Yeah, we were listening to if anyone wants to have, like, an instant mood boost.
Yeah.
Go to that song, Perfect Day by, I don't even know who it was by, Hoku or something?
Hoku, H-O-K-U. Yeah. It's like a haiku, but Hoku.
Okay. It's like Hoka, but Hoku.
Oh, is
That's
it Hoka?
Much better.
Or is it Hoku?
Well, I would really hope it's Hoku, because if it's Hoka, that's not great. Okay, anyways, just look up Perfect Day on Spotify and then go to the radio.
Oh my God. I'm going to subscribe to Spotify just so I have access to this.
And we listen to that all the way here. I mean, just after banger. Also, I was showing Scout that I've gone viral.
And I said,
I've gone viral.
But did you go as viral as we even talked about the fact that Lily Constantine?
Yeah, she went viral.
38 million views on TikTok.
That is
her nanny posted her, and this video got 38 million views. Sisters,
wait,
I've been on the internet for 6 years and I've never received 15,000 followers overnight, but Lily's nanny received 50,000 followers overnight. 15.
That's more people than, like, in a country.
Yeah. 38 million people.
How many people are in the U.S.?
I don't fucking know. You think I know? I don't even know where Arkansas is on a map. Like, I don't know anything.
Yikes. Anyways, that's like, that's a country of people.
At least it's California. I'm not sure. I'm going to look this
up. Yeah, how many people are in the U.S.? I thought it was 7-something. It's not a billion. Billion is
many.
1 billion is India. I know
people
that.
People aren't, well, glad we have some barometer.
I know it's not billion.
How many people are in the U.S.? 333 million are in the United States.
How many people are in California?
How many people are in California? 39 million.
The entire state of California has liked Lily.
Lily.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I mean, she's made for virality.
She is. Anyways, but I did go viral.
Sorry,
Tim. Because I revitalized a corner of TikTok that I don't, that was untapped. Very hard to do. Because afterwards I looked it up because I was like, someone must be talking about this.
Yeah.
No one. It is the Swedish girl band. Is it Swedish?
Again.
Something.
With some facts.
I think it's Swedish.
We are girl smart. Band.
Play. And their hit album. Their one hit album.
Yeah.
And then where are they? Completely completely went into obscurity after this one album. They were everywhere. Limited to, like, let me paint the scene for you. It's like Limited to, we're listening to Play and Us Against the World. It's Lizzie McGuire movie. And
I'm surprised you haven't.
I did a video about it and wow, people woke up.
Yeah.
People woke up.
I can't believe you haven't stumbled into Bewitched yet.
Bewitched.
Say you will, say you won't, say you'll do what I don't, say good things, say la vie.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're like Irish. They are. They did like the Irish bag. Sounds such ignorant bitches on this.
This intro.
I'm gonna cut that part out.
No, don't cut that out. This is relatable content.
Oh, okay. I like how we started this intro. Like, let's just get into the episode.
And now it's coming.
Let's get into this episode. Rachel Temko from Whimsy and Row. this is a value-packed, inspirational episode.
Oh my God, fantastic.
You sisters are going to genuinely hear how much we are literally obsessed with her clothing. She gives a little coupon code at the end. I'll give it right now. Okay, sister, for a little percentage off. If you sisters are like, yep, need, done, add to cart, yep. Boom. And all of her info is going to be in the show notes. And so without further ado, let's welcome the mama-to-be, entrepreneur galore, fashion designer, sustainable
queen,
community queen, Rachel, to the I looked at a reel of on OK Sister Instagram of when I was like really pregnant, and no one should have filmed me and put me on the internet, mostly because Rachel just had a difficult time getting into the chair, and I had flashbacks to also being on camera in a lucid pre-labor trance, and it is documented on the internet, which I don't recommend for you, Rachel. So
yeah, no day in the life of a 9-month pregnant lady in your future. Yeah, good. No. Good.
I like really thought that I was gonna love being pregnant. Oh. But I don't know.
Like,
well, my sister is like really easy pregnant person.
Oh, she's a unicorn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be great for me. And then my first trimester was horrible. And I am like having like my body is so different. I'm just like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird experience, but amazing, you know.
I wish they would.
Every mother, you guys like all have to say like, but it's amazing, but it's
okay.
Like, you
know
what
I mean?
Like, yeah. It always has to be the caveat.
Did you read my essay that I wrote on review?
No, sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I wrote a whole essay. I have to send it to you, Rachel. You'll really relate.
I want to read it.
It's about how I felt in pregnancy and how I was like reaching out to other women who were pregnant, and they would be like, oh my God, terrible. This sucks. But I'm so grateful. Yeah.
you have to put like the little caveat at the end.
And I'm like, I would never put the disclaimer or the caveat at the end because I'm like, I'm fucking sick and that's about it right now. That's all I can see and handle. I think one of the biggest things that our society did not prep us for as women is that the beautiful pregnancy was kind of the outlier experience. Mm-hmm. And most pregnancies suck.
Yeah.
Like the people who love being pregnant, it's a very small percentage of women.
I agree. And so actually me and my sister are both pregnant right now.
Wait, that
catch up to me, dude.
That's absolutely not going
to
happen.
You guys should do this because it is.
Am I going to have a third? I'd have to have a third.
Right.
Well, that's. You only have one, so.
No.
She's like, let's slow down. Wait, that's such a unique experience.
Yeah. So it was like we literally found out days apart, like, and we are 5 days apart. Like,
wow.
I'm due August 5th and she's due. Okay. July 31st.
Oh my God. Wait. And the babies are going to be the same grade and everything. Oh,
she doesn't want to know what she is getting, but oh. I'm having a boy.
Oh my God.
I know.
Wait, is it her first or
no, this is her third.
Okay. How do you feel? Because I could imagine that if that happened to my sister and I, as beautiful as it sounds, Maddie might be a little bit upset that I'm like raining on her parade. Like,
yeah, totally.
She has been so amazing through it all. Like she didn't even want to tell me until because she knew I was trying. So she like waited for me to tell her. And like, she also is like, you know, giving me my mom to like for, because obviously like we're going to be having our babies around the same time. So, and like, she actually hasn't, I don't even know if I should have said on the podcast, but she hasn't really like announced and like told a lot of people, just like close friends and stuff. So it's definitely, she's been like very adamant about not stealing my thunder.
That's okay, so good. Sweet. You can also tell us if you want us to cut that out. You can ask her after. But that's, I think how I would be with Maddie, I think, because it's like once you, even the second I can imagine is not a big
it's
deal.
It's not as big.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big deal, but it's not as big.
I don't know. I think if I have a second, I don't really think I'm going to tell that many people. Mm. I don't think it's going to be like, when it's your first, every day is a big deal.
Yeah.
I think the second, and there's reels of this, like signs of your first, your second, and your third. The third, it's like you don't even know when your ultrasound appointment is and you forget, right? Like by the time you get to that level, I think that's how I would be with my sister. So that's really nice of
her. She's going to throw me a whole like baby shower. And I was like, well, let me like throw you one. Yeah. And she's like, let's just do a lunch.
Aww.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Hot take I want to hear. I think that if you have, and I know I'm really going to piss some people off right now.
That's what we do here best.
If you have, you should not have a baby shower for a second or third baby. Like the baby shower is for the first.
You have a sprinkle.
No, you don't. No,
that's your second. Jar. It's a sprinkle. Oh,
like you have all the shit. It's just weird to me. Like it's like
it's a way to celebrate. Oh, I love any chance to celebrate, to do a lunch, to do a gathering, whatever.
Ugh, I feel bad. I feel like, oh, people are coming and spending more money on me for the second baby.
That's a you problem.
See, I kind of like
I don't want to be invited to a second baby shower.
I honestly like I felt like similarly about like when I got married and had all the things. I'm like, this is the one time in my life that it's about me. So I'm going to just relish in it.
Yep.
And like, yeah, when I have my second kid, I'm going to have a little sprinkle.
A little sprinkle. Like, I like a baby sprinkle. And that's also fantastic.
And it's also just not about us. Like our friends and family want to celebrate us too. Yes.
Agreed. So, okay. I'm on Rachel's side. You're in the minority.
I will work on that internally because whenever someone invites me to a second baby shower, I'm like, I already did this last year.
Do I have to get another gift?
I was like seriously, like, your registry is even more expensive than the first
round.
Well,
because you probably learned what you needed from the first one. You're like, okay, now we got this shit on lock.
Yeah. Okay, well, I feel like
maybe for the sprinkle, like, no gifts or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's
you can
probably.
Keep it light.
That's good. Yeah.
Let's transition because I want to say that your clothing, Miss Whimsy and Row, is so fantastic because I was about to say, like, you're wearing the pants and you're pregnant. And like, when I first met you, we talked about how much we hate like jeans and like things with zippers and buttons. Yes. And I was like, I'm obsessed with the linen pants, the flowiness, the comfort, the oversized. Like, and that was exactly, I remember we were sitting down and you told me, you were like, that you are the body I made Whimsy and Row for. And true. So ever since I've tried the clothes on, I've like, this is like the product for me.
Aww,
it is.
So sweet.
It is. And Scout, so Scout was introduced to the brand. Okay, you give your
I'll
little.
Give my, so I was introduced to the brand obviously this year and I've been on a hunt in the last couple of months, especially postpartum, reimagining my body. What does it mean to feel good in my body? What are the clothing? I kind of have to like redo my wardrobe because for 2 years I was pregnant or this and I've changed a lot. And so for me, I've been on a hunt for fit and quality, just on a hunt. I'm not going to wear things that don't look good on my body because they're trendy. And to be honest, I had a problem with a lot of the oversized stuff because I'm so short, it made me look bigger. And when I put on these linen pants, like these linen pants are your hero product.
That
pants.
Photo you post, like sent
us. Oh my God.
Amazing.
Oh, there's many more to come.
We already have it in Planoly. It's like going to be posted soon.
I'm sorry. It wasn't the best quality. I will redo it with other things.
I love it.
I have been wearing the black linen pants. Right now I'm wearing one of your white button-downs, which is incredible as well. I've been wearing these black linen pants because my other goal is to always look put together. To look put together, to wear things that are flattering to my body, and to not be uncomfortable. Same. I have been wearing these black linen pants with a crop top, with a little sweater, with a tucked-in tee, literally multiple times a week ever since I got them. And not just that, like the fit, you know, I think as you get older and especially, you know, sustainability is such an important part of your brand. I think sustainable choices as consumers is a part of it, whether or not the fabric is sustainable or not, of just like buying less but higher quality. Mm-hmm. And the second I felt your product, I was like, wow, this is quality.
This is quality.
These are investment pieces that I feel like I could tell everybody about and feel confident in that recommendation.
Wow. So if you just want to like clip this and like listen to it every morning.
I was just going to say, I need to hear this every morning because I feel like I'm so like tunnel vision in Whimsy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean like that's why I started Whimsy is because like I just want to feel comfortable and like I actually like have a hard time getting ready in the morning, you know? And so like having sets, which I know you're such a set girly. And having like these pieces that you can mix and match. And like I do wear other brands too that I mix and match into it. And like that is what like makes Whimsy Whimsy is like wearing things that feel really good on your body. And like I love to eat.
Yes.
Like I am.
Say it louder for those in the back.
I love to eat. So like I want to be able to wear things. And you grow throughout the day. Obviously I'm growing right now. But like.
You really do grow throughout
the
day.
You really do. Like your morning self is way different than your night
self.
I
need three outfits for the day.
Yeah.
100%. So I like to make things that you can like. We literally are like, okay, is there room for tacos? You know, like that's literally how I design things and like fit things.
That's a product development. Yes.
room for tacos. That's fantastic.
Yeah, or pizza or whatever you want to eat, you know? So it's like, I definitely try to incorporate that. And then also just like, you want to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like I, when I don't dress my best in the day, like I don't feel great. So yeah. I think that's so important too.
I want to come back to the difficulties in getting dressed in the morning. But before we hit that, how did you start Whimsy and Row? Were you always into fashion? Is this an industry that you had to really teach yourself? Like, what was the impetus and the inspiration that really got you to launch the brand?
Yeah. So me and my sister and my mom have always been into fashion together. Like, we would always like go to Nordstrom trips and it was like so much fun. So then when I needed to go to school, I was, you know, I really wanted to go for fashion merchandising. Ended up doing that and then moved to LA, got jobs in fashion. I actually worked at like Stitch Fix and Aritzia and like all the places. And then I just like never liked any of my bosses. I just had a really hard time finding a company that fit. And then even like trying to look for other jobs, I was like, none of this is hitting. And my parents are both entrepreneurs. Like, my mom owned a chain of salons. She was a hairdresser. My dad works in mortgages. He was a loan officer. And so when they saw that I was struggling, they were like, why don't you just start your own?
Ooh.
Which I feel like now they're probably like, why did we say that?
They're like, because
they've definitely had to help me a lot. Doesn't, you know, you can't do it on your own. And so, yeah, I just bought vintage and like popped up at flea markets. Like,
I was like, what year was this?
This was 2014.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I literally was like at the Melrose Trading Post and I did this pop-up on Abbot Kinney every single weekend for like 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
Selling vintage and then selling some other brands. And then I kind of fell into like, I was like, oh, there's nothing like I'm really gravitating towards like clothing wise. And I don't even know if these places are sustainable. So I was just like, why don't I just try making my own line? Mm. And then it just kind of gradually.
So what is sustainability?
Sustainability.
What a question.
I'm happy you asked.
Because I think the reason I asked so bluntly is because I do think it's a buzzword. And I do Absolutely. Think there isn't this one definition that people are really like.
It's like organic. It's like, right. What does that mean?
Yeah. What does that mean? Yes. Is it actually organic? We don't know. And so. Right. To you, why was it important to be sustainable and like what does it actually mean when it comes to clothing?
So working in the industry, quickly you see how damaging it is to our environment. Mm. Just from like the fabrics being made, from the people being treated to like the dyes, it's just dirty. Mm. And it's just, there's so much waste. So I knew that when I started my own brand, I was like, there needs to be a better way. I would say sustainability. Yes. It's a buzzword. It's a spectrum because some things matter more to you than others. Like maybe the fabric and the quality matters more to you, or like treating workers fairly and them getting paid fairly matters more to you. So I think there's like pieces. Mm. I like to use the word eco-conscious because fashion is never going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. Like it's a wasteful industry, you know, like we're doing everything we possibly can, but we still have waste too. Mm. So I would say I call us more of an eco-conscious brand. So every single decision that we make, we think about people and the planet first. But, you know, yeah, sustainability is also, I feel like, coined as like really expensive and all these things. And it doesn't have to be. I also think that you can be sustainable without shopping at sustainable brands. Like, I think it goes into even more like how you care for your garments, you know, like how you treat your clothes. If you're going to just throw them in the wash and dry everything every time and like, and then you're just going to send it off to a landfill, like, you know.
Have to like buy more.
Yeah, because I know that everybody can't afford to buy, you know, sustainable fashion. It's a luxury. So I think it's more about like how you care for your items as well. Like what's the afterlife of when you buy something too?
That's really important.
Yeah. So it's like goes full circle.
Okay. So how does Whimsy and Row show up?
Yeah.
In the eco-conscious way.
So from the fabric is where we start. We only choose fabrics that are like natural fibers and then low impact dyes. And then from there, we choose factories and vendors that like have the same ethos as us that are paid fairly. And we do audits and we make sure that like most of our factories are downtown.
Right.
So it's really easy. Yeah. So it's really easy for us to just like go down there and see what's going on. And we have like really great relationships with our factories. And then from there, just like how we show up online, we offset all of our emissions. And what else do we do? Like just the way that we present everything, even at like our work, just like how our cleaning products, anything that goes into it. We also donate and we like recycle all of our scraps, you know, even just like packaging. All of our packaging is biodegradable, recyclable. So
it's in the fabric of every single
everything.
Decision.
That's so every decision, and which was so easy to start with from the beginning, but as we are growing, it's getting harder. I think my biggest pain point is pricing.
Yeah,
because it costs so much to make our stuff here, to use the fabrics that we do, and you know, I want to be affordable and accessible for people. Yeah. So
I was going to say scaling a brand like this. And I mean, you talked about, you started this in 2014.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like 24.
I know, it's wild. But I think what's so admirable about what you've built is that you have really leaned in this more like slow burn, slow and steady rather than an in sustainability, you cannot just go really fast and scale so largely. Like it has to be this slow process. So talk to us about that from like a business standpoint, because I think a lot of people even listening, they see a brand like yours, like they see our podcast and they're just like, oh, I want that success immediately. Mm-hmm. And they want that instant gratification.
Yeah.
But why is it better to slow it down and really enjoy that process instead of getting those like immediate gains?
Yeah. I feel like I didn't really have another way. Mm. I just like the whole investment thing never really seemed, I know you went through that process too, just never really seemed great. Like I wanted to own 100% of my business and I wanted to be able to like make the decisions and also not like freak out and be stressed all the time having to have like a board and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I would say like when I think you just kind of put your head down and you're just like, keep going, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like 10 years later, you're like, what the fuck?
Truly, truly, so true.
But no, like you can talk to any of my coworkers, my team, like we have had so many ups and downs and turns and all the things. Like it hasn't been like this steady growth, but this is like my lifelong goal. Like I'm in it for the long term. Like this is what I want to do. Like I've even thought about like what else would I do? And there's nothing.
Totally.
This is it for me. So it's like I'm not looking at it as like, okay, I've made it to 10 years. I only have another year to like to make it or whatever. Like I feel like I'm like, oh, well, I've got another 10 years to like really perfect it and get to where I want to go. And I have new goals and new things that I want to do. So
it's really beautiful. Like seeing it, because I sometimes think with Camber, I'm just like, I think just because of the way society presents business, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, I'll sell it and this and I'll do this and then I'll what's next or whatever. Yeah. And it's weird. And I love that.
Or there's this was such a relief for me because I've been in business for 5 years. I had my first quote unquote kind of like down slump last year. Same. And on the internet and the way it's perceived is that business should, you know, this is what investors want to see. This is what people want to see, et cetera. It's that. It's this linear upward trajectory. Yeah. That's what they want to see, linear upward trajectory. And once you actually get into business and speak to business owners, that's almost impossible, literally almost impossible, because business is like seasons.
Yeah.
There are ups, there are downs, there are winters, the times change, et cetera. And it just, like, when I had my first what I call winter in business, I thought there was something wrong with me as a business owner. Like, and sure, as entrepreneurs, there's also I look back and I'm like, okay, great. I learned from this. I could do this better, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I also look and like, how can I take accountability in some respect? And it was this complete leveling moment where I spoke to another business owner and she's like, Scout, businesses go through
seasons.
It is not linear. It is up and down. And I think that no one talks about that, because at the end of the day, the successful person is the person that stays in business.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
if it's up, if it's down, it is, the person who stays in business at the end of the day is successful.
Yeah.
And I love this idea of this longevity, right? And I think that in today's day and age, again, with review, that is my goal with my new editorial site. It's like this longevity.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
I love it.
It's like this longevity, this thing of like, oh, it's okay. I have 10 years to perfect this. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a new way to do business. And I kind of see this as a theme after talking to you and a lot of your work of like, you didn't like your bosses, so you wanted to redo that. You didn't like the way the fashion industry was, so you wanted to create something sustainable. And from a passion and purpose perspective, you also didn't want to do the crash and burn real fast. Talk to us about business and lifestyle, because growing a business for your lifestyle is one of the most important questions an entrepreneur needs to answer before they start a business.
Yeah.
Because your business should work for your life. You should not work for your business's model,
and
right?
And so I always say this, like it's such a weird thing to contemplate, because we get into entrepreneurship to be our own bosses, to craft it. But then there are stereotypes of startups and of entrepreneurship that I still fall into, and I'm like, wait, I got into this because I want to do it myself. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
So it's you like might as well go work for
a work on a 9 to 5. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what? Like, so it's so I've had to relearn that and relearn that as well.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. So how have you crafted your startup and your business so that it fits with your lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, I always knew that I wanted a retail store, which is kind of seems like nobody like does retail anymore. But
also, the retail store is incredible. I need to take Scout.
I'll dress you up.
I want a retail store. When you said that, I was like, someone, like, it's gonna come back, all that stuff.
Oh, because no in person experiences. People,
I won't shop online anymore. I won't do it for the most part, because it's the way. Like, when I open your package of stuff, like, right when I ordered these things and I felt it, I was like, oh my God.
It's a different experience.
This is a different experience than seeing it online. Like, end of story, period. And we need that when we're, for people who are really serious about what they're putting on their bodies, the types of brands that they want to, you know, support and what their lifestyle is in relation to clothing, you got to try it on in real life.
I just love retail.
Yeah.
I one of my favorite things to do on the weekend is just like pop into different stores and like get brunch. So I just knew that I wanted a retail store, and so I made my space, which I used to live 10 minutes away from, but now I live 10 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
I made my space like I can pick, pack, and ship out of there. I can have the retail in the front, and then I lived really close, and it was just like, it just is very zen, and it works for my life. And now that my business is where it's at, I only need to go in a few days a week, and then I'm able to balance and be home for a few days a week and work. And so now I'm like, so I just kind of, I like make it how I want it. And, you know, sometimes I'm busier than other times. And I really like cherry picked my team to support me and understand how I work. And I think that what's like, I also hated in fashion how like everything was manic and catty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it was like an emergency.
Intense and emergency. And I always remind my team, I'm like, it's just clothes.
Yeah.
Like we're just making clothes here. We're not like saving lives.
Yeah.
Like, it's just clothes. If something's late, like our customer base will understand. Like, and we'll figure it out. Like, I think that's like the biggest lesson that I've learned throughout all these years is like, you learn quickly how to pivot and you have to trust your intuition because, like, you have the answers. Mm-hmm. Like, you figure it out. I know I'm kind of going off of the question. No, but
Well, I was going to say something about your retail store because I think, and it kind of meshes in with the pivoting, is you guys have been so great at community and at events, you know, as with
Camber. Coming from the event girly.
But that's what I've seen that has set you guys so apart. You know, I obviously with Camber, that's all we do is in-person experiences and community events. And so when I see a small business in a retail spot, like really utilizing the community and bringing people together, like that is, I mean, one, it's like just so good for business right. And people like feel so attached to the brand. But talk to us about how, was it just because like, okay, we have a retail spot. This is like our hangout.
I love hosting.
Yeah.
And I love cooking and I just love being in person with people. And I can talk about Whimsy all day long every day. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like I married everything together into this space. So it just felt like I just love how I used to throw pickling like workshops and like, you know, some things that my family would be like, why are you doing this? This is not making you any money. I'm like, but I love it, you know? Yeah. But now we're like, yeah, like when I do events, it's to bring people in and shop. And like, if you don't have community and you don't have a way to like be there for your community, like what's the point?
Totally.
And like, there's so many brands. So it's like, why would somebody choose me over the thousands of other brands that there are? And I think it's because, like, we care. We care a lot. Yeah. And we want to show up for everybody and be there for them. And we throw these events to have fun.
Yeah. You involve your consumer as well, which is something that has been really interesting I've noticed about brands is that they focus so much on influencers and gifting and making events only accessible to influencers. So it's not, it's not.
And those people are not buying your product.
Yes. So, you know, with Camber, everything we do is public facing and community focused. And so like when brands come to us and they're like, and which is fine, well, we could do influencer events, that's fine. And we have a network that way. But that's what they want is they want the public. They're like, wait, oh my God, you're doing events for, like, we know how to do events for influencers, but like, we don't even know how to do it for our consumers. Right. And it's so strange to me because I'm like, why wouldn't you treat your consumers, the ones that are actually fucking paying for your
shit,
like they are influencers. And that's what you do.
No, talk.
Well, so I've thrown influencer events and after I do them, I'm like, What was that? I'm like, did anything happen? You know, because you do this like super nice dinner and like, you know, you gift so much stuff. Yeah. It's so much money.
Totally.
And at the end of it, I'm like, I don't know if that did anything. Like, it's not a good feeling after you have an event and put so much effort into it. So we definitely do a mix now. And like, if we do influencer events, we also like invite our friends too, because like, I think that also brings in the community. Mm-hmm. But also like, our events are not always focused on purchases. It's more community driven because a lot of people come into the store too and are just like, oh, I just want to see everything in person and try it on and then shop online. So there's that element. But yeah, I struggle with the influencer marketing a lot.
It's changing. Oh, it's going to go significantly.
I can't keep up.
So I read the book Purple Cow by Seth Godin, which I recommend to every single entrepreneur, brand builder, et cetera. And he has this.
Yeah, I've never heard you talk about this.
I just read it.
But
Seth Godin is like a marketing. He's the marketing guy that you go to.
Purple Cow.
Yeah,
it's a Purple Cow.
So he says that if you go and you see a field of cows, you're like, oh, there's a bunch of cows, right? But if you saw a purple cow, you'd be like, holy shit, there's a purple cow.
Whimsy and Row is the purple cow.
Oh my God. So I don't know what that means. Well, the point being is like you want to build a brand in your industry that's different, right? But he talks about how does a brand actually pop off, right? Like where does the inflection point come from? How do you get this loyal fan base? And he calls them sneezers. In the beginning, you have sneezers. People who are diehard, love your brand, are going to tell everyone about your brand. And the sneezer the point being is that the sneezer is not necessarily just an influencer, right? Like they could be just
brand evangelists,
a regular affiliate. A customer.
I don't like this guy's metaphors.
No, you need to
sneezers. What the fuck is this?
Okay, guys. Okay, affiliates. This is like the marketing grail. Okay, it's been around for 20 years.
Sorry.
This is the Bible, I'm telling you. Okay. So the point being is that brands miss the sneezers and they go for the person they think is going to do it, or they ignore the sneezer because that person doesn't have all these followers or all this influence, but they're the ones on the ground that are just going to say your name because they want to say your name. And the brands, he was like basically talking about community before community is a thing today.
Yeah.
He says, if you pour into your sneezers, they will tell everybody, and that's when you hit the masses. Mm-hmm. And it's the people who don't pour into their sneezers and just go for the masses right away that they will eventually, like, you can sustain that only so long with advertisement and money, but eventually you don't actually have a foundation. And so, you know, this was written 20 years ago, but essentially the sneezer is the community, right? Like, he was saying that, like look at your sneezer and ask them what they want. Do things for them, promote them, give them free stuff, make them feel like they're in a special club. And that is what community is today. And I think that the influencers used to be the sneezers. That used to be
the way that it spread.
The way that it spread. But now that, you know, they've been saturated, they've talked about so many products, there's so many events, we need to think of influencers as much more of like a PR situation versus a marketing situation.
Or like a celebrity endorsement or something.
Yeah, like, or like it just makes you look like, you know, some things in building a brand and a business make you look cool or make you look in the know, and that eventually will tie to sales, but it's not this direct correlation, it's not this direct growth, but it's a part of it. It's like saying I was featured in Vogue. Like, the Vogue article might not have brought the traffic, but you say you were featured,
it gives you that check mark.
And like, the check marks are important, but at the end of the day, like, influencers are starting, in my opinion, to like go over to the PR side of things versus the marketing side of things. And the community, aka Seth Godin's sneezers, are the new way to go. So I think that community for me is such a hard thing for me to wrap my head around, because I don't like being around people. So like, events like are hard for me. Like, I'm such an introvert. Okay. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, it's just true. Like, I'm such an I can't.
I'm like a mix.
Like, what Maddie does, like, never in a million years.
I'm like the in between of you both.
Okay. Guys, this is the thing. You guys don't see me post these events, okay? I am rotting in my bed for hours and days after, okay?
But it just like, it says,
I agree.
How do you build community if you are not?
As an introvert.
How do you build community as an introvert?
So I feel like, so we started this affiliate program. We use Shopify, and we, Shopify has this free app. It's called Shopify Collabs. And we have built a big community on there with affiliates, and affiliates can literally be your customer. And they can earn commission. And then, so every month we email them like friends, you know, and giving them free stuff, discounts, making, you know, like showing up for them and showing that like we're in this together, like let's spread the word. So I think that's been really good too. And like, we'll give them incentives and things to like,
I was going to say, making like an affiliate for your community, because I feel like affiliate programs are only limited to influencers. And
which
so,
like, we don't do that. That's so great. Yeah. Cause anybody can be an affiliate. I mean, you guys are going to walk out and be like, oh my gosh, I love Whimsy and Row. I'm wearing this set. And your friend's going to be like, I need to get that.
Right.
Where like, I feel like word of mouth is much, much more stronger than, you know, you posting it on like, you know, a big influencer talking about it. We also have found that our micro influencers are much stronger and bring in much more sales than bigger influencers. So, and we have just like such a small budget because we're such a small brand. So like, we really like, if they follow us, they naturally just like organically post about us. We will continue to give them stuff and let them in on like new launches and stuff. And it just feels so organic and natural than going to this big influencer and being like, hi, like, can you wear our stuff and talk about us?
The organic part of it, I think you've done so well, and you've just like made people feel like they are a part of the journey, and that's all people want.
That's all people want.
They want to be fucking part of the journey.
They want a good story. They want to be a part of the journey, and like, I'm here for it because like, and I'm an open book. It's been
like, it's working.
it's, you know, it's been a journey.
Yes.
Do you know who Aurora James is?
Yeah, why does that sound so
okay,
familiar?
So she's the founder of Brother Vellies. She won the CFDA fund a while ago. You should read her book because her whole thing is that Brother Vellies is a shoe and handbag company, and it's built by artisans in different countries. So, you know, Africa is where it really started. And her struggle in her business was, how do I create things that are quality, sustainable, you know, a lot of the same values that you have, and then that scaling issue, and then that price point issue. And she talks a lot about that. So I don't know, as you were talking, I was like, you really should read memoir.
Because I have a notes of like, okay, sister, so many things.
Shut up.
So much stuff. Like all your smut novels, like all your business things. I'm like,
it's like so us. The smut novels and the business. Like literally the dichotomy of this
That's
fucking
podcast. That's
what you
podcast. Come to this podcast to get a smut novel and a business book recommendation.
That's all you need.
It's like I'll have to show you after this.
Oh my god, it's really long. Can you screenshot that? I want to have it. That's so funny.
That's fantastic.
Yes,
we add it to our Amazon.
Okay, so any other sisters who are listening and have a similar notes, add the Linen Whimsy and Row to your notes app. Okay, what over the years, since you've been in business for a long time, it's so beautiful to reflect on that longevity. What are some key moments for the brand where you look back and you're so proud of yourself, or you were so excited, or you were like, holy fuck, this is my life and this is my business?
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
Take your time, because I want you to pull it out of the reservoir, the locks.
Yeah, I'm like,
the
wow.
Archives.
There's been a lot of moments, but I'm like, to think of just one, like I do feel like the top you're wearing had its like viral moment, and we make like thousands of them now.
Awesome. This top is a magic top.
Yeah, I'm buying that top after.
I'm so excited. Oh, Scout, you need this top.
I'm gonna go buy it.
Valentina top.
Yes, Valentina top.
Valentina top.
I have it.
Thank you. This is an audio platform.
I think we would know that by now. I have it in three different colors. I want you to put it on the other way because you have huge tits.
Are you trying to make up for the fact that now? No, I have. You literally just said I have small boobs three weeks ago.
Sucked the boob out of her.
Yeah,
so
get
it's
ready.
Like,
yeah, get ready, Rachel.
The boobs are going to be gone. But listen, she does have big, you have bigger boobs than me. And so I really want to see it the other way, because this is a reversible. And the first time I put it on, I was like, oh, this is a lot of boobage.
It's fantastic.
So I want you to do it.
Wait, this is so funny because Maddie's fiance, Ben, his threshold for Maddie's cleavage is if like this one freckle is showing on her boob.
And the freckle shows when I do it the other way. Like,
that means she's being a little bit too whatever. And I was like, I don't have a rule like that. I walk out of the house and my husband's like, you can totally see your nipples. And I look at him like, oh, thank you for letting me know that I have nipples.
Yes, and.
So I think that's hilarious. We should try it on after and you can film what it looks like on either side.
Oh my god, we'll do the reversal.
I love a nip slip. I'm all about it.
We love a nip slip.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, she's all about it. What was your question?
I don't remember.
A moment.
Oh, the Valentina top.
Like that popping off was like really a time where I was like, whoa, this is happening. Honestly, the one thing I can think of, because maybe it wasn't like too long ago, but during the pandemic was like one of the hardest times for us, but then it became like one of the best times because it was like no sales. And then we were like making all these masks and some of the first people to make all these masks. And then once the world like started picking up, we just like grew like crazy. It was insane. And I've never seen growth like that for us.
I think everybody
just was sitting at home and didn't have anything to do and had all this expendable income.
Right.
And also, like, people were getting supplements, too. What's the word I'm looking for?
Supplemental.
From the government. So I think that it was just, like, and people just wanted a package delivered to their door.
That was the only thing. It was the highlight of our lives.
So it's like, and everything we did was, like, on social, everything was just, like, great. Like, we couldn't post anything that was wrong, you know? It was just like everybody, it was just, it was like, okay, this is the moment that I'm waiting for. Mm-hmm. Like, that was definitely a time where I was like, hell yes, like, things are working.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then.
Did you change? Well, I was going to say. I was going to say, I'm going to predict right here, right now, that podcasts at the end of this year are going to be talking about this because business owners, I believe, are still going through it.
Yep.
It's 2023, we saw the COVID spending stop. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yes. Every business owner is going to start talking about this one.
Yeah.
Small business owners are going to start talking about this one.
I mean, people are already talking about it. It's like crazy. We're all just like, hello?
Yes.
Right. Where is everybody?
Yeah, well, it's because, I mean, I started my business in 2019. So I technically hadn't really been in any sort of full force to be able to predict seasons in my business. Right. It was just great all the time because when COVID happened, people were remote. They couldn't go anywhere. They had so much expendable income because they weren't out spending money. They weren't traveling during the summer, et cetera. And so it was so easy to sell and to get clients.
Yeah.
And then across the board, all my business owners last year, something around the summertime, like talk of a recession, people started traveling again and the world really did get back to pre-pandemic and budgets just changed.
Yeah.
And we all were like, oh, this is the post-COVID slump because it wasn't going to stay that way forever, which also such a tip and beautiful lesson for business owners that when you're riding that high, it doesn't stay there forever. Mm. It always does go down eventually because seasonalities and stuff like that.
I mean, we've always had seasons. Like literally we're starting to pick up now because the sun is out. Like
we're like, we need the linens.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Like people literally shop more when it's sunny.
Totally. Like go figure.
The way it goes.
And it's been raining here for a while.
And so I always have to like check in with myself at the beginning of the year because I get like a little depressed. Just like, where is everybody? Like, what's going on? What am I doing? And then I'm like, okay, remember. Like, it's the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just bought a bunch of stuff for the holidays. Like, you need to just, like, give yourself time. Mm-hmm. And I usually, like, during those times, I, like, tighten everything up. You know, I do my best to just, like, dial everything in because, like, we're heading into our most busy time. Mm-hmm. We're actually, like, busier during this time up to summer than we are over the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. It's so important to know that as a business owner.
Yeah.
Like it's so like summer.
Well, people love our linens.
Yeah.
So it's kind of our bread and butter.
Perfect. Yeah.
So I, like we were talking about, I really do listen to our customers and I just go with what they want. Like everything, all my buys, everything that I do is dependent on what they want and the data.
100%. How do you collect that feedback? Just by what people are purchasing, what you're hearing? Yeah. Is there ever a line that you draw? Because I feel like brand owners talk about this a lot of like, do you give the customer what they want or do you innovate something that they might not know that they even need at this point? Like what's the fine line between having a business be run by the people that purchase your stuff versus your own originality and creativity?
It's both.
Both.
Mm. Literally a fortune teller. Like I'm not kidding. And I'm okay at it. Like I try my best, but like I'm planning spring summer 25.
Oh my God.
Right now.
Yeah. Also, how? Talk to me about that.
It's
Talk
hard.
To me about that in the fashion industry as well. Like
do you
how?
Just do you do research and see what other people are doing, just kind of understand? Or are you literally just like,
I feel like fashion designers know the future.
They do.
More than any other person.
We try. And like we also are just predicting what you guys want. Mm. So what I do is like we have like kind of our tried and true and we like know what sells based off of like our data. So I always do repeat stuff. Some brands like won't repeat things. Mm-hmm. But for us, like we repeat stuff because we've already spent all the money. We know it works. So why not? And then we sprinkle in new things. And this is basically like I like to plan my seasons in the season that we're currently in, thinking about like, oh, what do I wish I had this season? Mm. And I think we do have an advantage that our stuff is timeless and we play on trends. Like this vest is like trending right now, but we did a very simple version that is going to like live in your closet forever. Mm-hmm. So like, we don't have to like, I've given up on trends because I just, yeah. I'm just not that quick. And the minute that the trend is happening, it's already over.
Totally.
So I just, so yeah, so we're planning spring, summer right now. And it's a lot of like, I asked my entire team, like, what do you guys want?
Wait, can I make a can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, please. Okay,
well, I'm gonna do it after because I'll
just
show
say
you.
It and then we can.
Please, I feel like this type of top
would be so perfect. But I don't know if it'll be also like cool next year, but it's the ones I want to say it's Gani kind of where it's like bigger sleeve, mm-hmm. short sleeve, but like puffier sleeve,
yeah.
and then the ties all the way through.
Oh, cute!
And I like a little more boxy. I just feel like that would be perfect with a linen set.
Yeah.
Because I've been looking Maddie's for something like designer. This and I'm like.
I'm here for it. We're actually.
Product development.
Send me a pic.
I'm going to send you a pic.
Let's make it.
I'm on the product development team.
Let's make it. We'll call it the Maddie.
Wait, stop. We have to.
I am so jealous right now.
We'll name well,
can I do one too? You have to be a fashion designer. Come up with something.
Yeah, I want to be a fashion designer.
You can do it through me.
Okay, oh my God. I don't even have to have my own fashion line. How amazing.
We'll just send things to Rachel. But like, can you make this on Whimsy Row?
Excuse me. We're going to get this launching in about 3 months.
Okay. I want to ask, is there like a trending hashtag or something about like bridesmaids at Whimsy Row or something? Because like, everyone wears that one dress. What dress is it?
The Lola.
Everyone wears this dress. This is the bridesmaid dress. Okay, sisters, if you are listening and you are a bridesmaid like coming up or just going to a wedding,
yeah,
this dress is every bridesmaid.
It's great because it's a wrap dress.
Yes.
And then it covers your arms. It's very flowy. And we make it out of this Tencel Cupro fabric that looks like silk.
Yes.
So it's just like so gorgeous and lovely. And yeah. It fits so many different body types. Yeah. I mean, that and the Valentina.
Yeah.
And then our Flora pants.
Yeah.
Those kind of put us on the map.
Yeah.
What's your creative process? Like, how do you get inspired when you feel like you're in a rut? Where do you turn to reignite that creative spark?
Well, actually, your podcast kind of helped me a little bit this year because I loved how you were like, you need to give yourself space. Mm-hmm. So
you said that?
Yes.
I'm like, fuck, I need to remember. Like,
this is why we have this, so that we remind ourselves.
Yeah. Because, I'm, you know, going. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I got to figure out what I'm doing next year. Like, how am I going to get in that headspace? Because we're like, you know, I just finished planning fall, winter this year. Mm-hmm. And then we're launching all spring, summer. And then I'm like, okay, I have to figure out spring, summer next year or I'm going to be late. And so what I do is like, I honestly go to my team first. And I'm like, hey, we do like a monthly meeting. I'm like, hey, we're planning spring, summer next year. Anybody has ideas, throw them in the Slack. And we start just going on Pinterest and pinning things. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of like gets me in that headspace thinking about next year and what we want. And then from there, I have a designer who she's just so talented and creative. And we just start like, you know, taking things and are like, I create like a line sheet and I take the things that I'm like, okay, we have to make these things. And then these are the things that like, I would love to make. And she sketches all of it out and we put it together. And then it's like every week we touch base together and we keep working on it. And then we start sampling.
Wow. It just baffles me. It's like you have to turn on two different brains because you're launching spring and summer this year.
Yeah.
But then you're planning a year.
So you're trying to like, what do we make? Like, what do we
No, it is like truly the most interesting part about the fashion. Do you struggle with that or are you just so used to it?
No, I struggle with it because I wish like I could just take a break.
Yeah.
Just to like recalibrate and be like, you know, and before I have to start the next season, just like, take a breather to also just like see what sells. Like,
totally.
I already have to figure out what I'm gonna make next year when I don't even know if the styles that we made this year are gonna sell well. They're not even launched.
That's so crazy. Hard.
You know, so like,
and it's hard to stay in the present.
That is my biggest battle. But what we do is like, we kind of put them as placeholders. We're like, all right, these are already fit. They're perfect. They're great. Let's give ourselves more time to see how they sell. And then we can either keep them or drop them.
One question before we transition over to talking about how you're preparing for motherhood and being an entrepreneur. If you had to describe the Whimsy and Row Girl, how would you describe
her?
Like we're sisters and hosts together.
I know. Who's the way? I mean, it's me.
It's us.
Yeah. It's us. Guys, it's the sisterhood.
It's the sisterhood.
It really is the sisterhood.
Yeah.
Because there's very few. I mean, not, I shouldn't say that-ish, but like there's not that many brands that I think Mads and I wholeheartedly love to get. And it's brands, for the ones that we do love together are ones that are quality pieces that can be styled kind of like any which way, right? Yeah. Like I'm wearing this, which one is this?
It's the Perry top.
The Perry top with, you know, little kitten heels, right? So Maddie would wear it probably a little bit different. She'd probably wear her Birkenstocks with it, right? But, well, you would.
I know.
It's like same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like the brands that can translate to Maddie and me are usually brands that are very quality based, very soul centered, if that makes sense. Like there's a soul behind it and it can speak to the core of us, but then we can also wear it with our own individuality at the same time.
Yeah. So that's what Whimsy and Row means.
Oh.
Whimsy is the feminine side.
Oh, there we go.
And Row is the more masculine row, like in a row. I don't know why I'm not
In a row.
Like in a row. More minimal masculine
like
side.
Logic.
Like I feel like some days you wake up and you're like, oh, I want to like feel girly today and feel flirty. And so we have styles for that. And then we have the styles where you just want to like wear a button up and like
look tailored.
Mm-hmm. So like I just feel like as women, we're multidimensional and we're not like just this. And I always struggle with my styles. Like some days I want to be more like this. So it's like, why not? So that's why we have like a range of so many different styles, but that can all go together too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful.
I love it.
Should we do a pulse check on you if you need to nosh or run to the restroom?
I just need some water.
Yeah, take some water because I do want to ask you about the pregnancy side of things honoring the pregnant body real quick.
I'm going to need some advice.
We have to honor the pregnant body.
You do have to. At all times, people should be walking. They should be clearing the seas for you. The
You're
Red
like
Sea.
Moses.
You are Moses. And the Red Sea should be cleared for you at all times. If anyone doesn't give you their seat somewhere, they are a terrible person, is how I look at it right now. I want to talk about, obviously, motherhood and business. It's something that's very near and dear to my heart now that I have a year and a half old.
A little baby. No, you have a toddler.
I have a toddler.
Nuts.
I have a toddler. I'll show you two different photos of her because it just happened in like 2 weeks. I was like, what? You're not a baby. You're a toddler. How are you preparing since you're like, I don't know, in between 4 and 5 months pregnant? Yeah. How are you preparing to be a mom and a business owner?
So I haven't done a whole lot, but I've done some.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like preparing my team and like definitely making sure everybody's on the same page. And I am going to take some maternity leave.
Some equals...
like a month or 2 months. Mm. I have no idea what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I've been just chatting with the team being like, just trying to prepare us for that. And in my mind being like, okay, the next few months, I'm going to just dial everything in so that when I'm gone those months that like I feel good and my team is supported. But they also know that they can still message me, like I'm still a person, but I just won't be as like hands-on like I am currently. And then personally, I started my nursery, so that feels like a step forward. I have like a crib and a dresser.
That's such a fun
like,
process.
Yeah. So like I feel like I feel like I've started, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of it so far.
Yeah.
Because I got like 4 months left, so.
I was gonna say, I feel like, and Scout can kind of talk on this, but like, I feel like it's kind of you just figure it out as you go.
Now, are you open for some advice?
Please, that's why I'm here.
Your team cannot message you.
Okay.
It was as someone who's a business owner. It's so hard to walk away. It's so hard to walk away, and if there is a little bit of an open door, it's going to drive you insane. what I did, which I loved, it was like 1 month for sure, no matter what. I took my like Gmail calendar notifications off, my email notifications off, and my Slack notifications off. And I did not enter any of them.
Okay.
I did not look at an email because the minute you open the portal and the door up, you're done. And
okay.
I had one point of contact, my director at the time. We talked on the phone weekly. We had like a 20-minute chat and she just let me know what was happening.
Okay.
Just so I'm like, okay, my business hasn't burnt down. Like, right. Things are happening. Everyone's happy, right? Because you need that security, I think, as a business owner. I think it's unrealistic to check out fully. It just is. Like, this is tied to everything for you. So for me, it was that. And then I missed my team. So I'd be like, hey, I'm going to pop on the team meeting and just show you Lily and then walk away when you guys start talking about work. And it was the best gift I could have given myself. I had someone who I trusted who was reporting back. So I felt like I knew and I felt safe and secure that things were going well. She knew if it was an absolute emergency, she could call me. And then after the month, I was like, okay, I'm going to go into emails. And then I kept it very fluid. I think actually one of the perks and positives of running your own business and having you know, a baby and becoming a mom is that you get to go back at your own pace, where a lot of women go on maternity leave and then it's like, boom, full time. There you go. And that's really hard. So for the first month, it was zero communication except for my weekly check-ins with my director, who gave me like very high level good news. The bad news was not allowed unless it was like serious, right? And then I opened up my email week four, like at the end of week four, so early week five. Okay. And then I spent the next month in emails. I was like, you know what? I could take two calls this month. I took two calls. Then month three, I felt like I was working like 10 to 15 hours a week. And it was felt good to get back in my routine. And then it just, I added and added and added. But looking back, for me, having that month silo away was so needed and important, because you really do need all of your positive energy on healing your body and your baby. And it just allowed me to be in that space only. Okay. And it also was the biggest blessing, because as entrepreneurs, we have this misconception that we have to be there all the time. We have this idea that no one can do it better than us, that if we're not checking in, the business is going to go down the drain and blah, 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 blah. And it really, really taught me. And it was so good, because when you're a mom, you're going to need this, that you can pass the reins over.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
I'm learning this too, is like, I've kind of built the business. I don't want a business where I'm indispensable.
Yeah.
Wait.
No, you want to be dispensable.
I want to be dispensable.
Yeah.
Like I same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because same. Yeah. What the fuck would happen if I was pregnant, if I had a baby with Camber? Like, it can't. So it's like, realizing that is really tough.
Yeah.
But also, it's so important for your, for the growth of your business.
And a maternity leave will show you that you are way less important to your business.
That's
in the
good.
Best
yeah,
good.
Totally.
Scalability.
I am all about passing things off and having people do things. I know it's not going to be exactly how I'm going to do them, but I'm happy that I'm not doing them.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Like I learned totally. That a long time ago, because like as a business owner, you literally can't do it all.
Yeah.
You're going to like, I get this eye twitch sometimes and I'm like, okay, you're doing too much, you know?
Yeah. Your body is like shutting down. Like,
Exactly. Like glitching out. But yeah, like I'm all for that. But like that is amazing advice. And I think that's kind of where my head was at. And I'm very much being like, we're just going to like see how it goes. But I think that first month, just like giving yourself that time. And like really what can happen in a month?
Do you have any moms on your team? Okay. I was so lucky that my director was a mom.
Okay.
So she knew. She laughed. She's like, Scout? No. That's not happening, because she knew. And so I am the mom that works for you right now. And I'm telling you,
Thank you.
Of need that, right? Because like I was so lucky that she understood what I was going through. And so she put the boundaries up that I couldn't, as the business owner, put up myself.
Yeah.
So just pretend that I'm putting up the boundaries for you, because it was the best gift I could have ever
received.
I feel
really lucky that my team is like so supportive. And I think they're like, even this is so small, but like even like when I went on vacation – like for my honeymoon, like, every time I tried to get in and Slack, they're like, nope.
Yeah,
like, that's you know, good. So, and it good. Was like 2 weeks, and even, you know, the week of my wedding, like, everybody was just like, nope,
Yeah, great.
So, and like, people figure it out. You know, like, if you don't answer.
It's just close, as we said, right? Just close.
Like,
just
and close. If you don't answer, like, they'll take the opportunity and figure it out on their own. And it works out, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I'm not that worried about that month off. But yeah, I think it's better to, like, I wanted to, like, and then the second month, I was like, I'm going to ease myself back in. But who knows, like, maybe he's going to be like a nightmare. And I keep telling him every day, I'm like, you're just going to be chill, baby.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I'm going to bring you everywhere, like a little accessory.
If he's your baby, he will be a chill baby. Yeah. Like, we have no doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to ask you the last question, which, like, since Rachel is such a sister, I feel like you know the question we're about to ask you. Did you prepare?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you were to brag about one thing and you cannot be humble, what would you brag about?
I have to say my cheese and charcuterie spread.
Oh my God, that's a great one.
I love it. I like love whipping up a cheese board, and I would love to make you girls one sometime. But I just love cheese, and I just love all the fixings that go with it. That's like one thing during pregnancy that I'm like, oh, I can't have any like charcuterie, you know, like the meats. But yeah, it makes me so happy, and giving it to somebody else, they're just like, wow, you just put this together?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I definitely,
You just have a knack for charcuterie boards.
It kind of comes in my family. We're all like kind of good at it.
Damn. Wow. That is a skill set though. One I don't have. Our mom is incredible. We should do a charcuterie board making, arranging Camber Times Whimsy and Row class.
Wait a minute. Yes. I was just thinking, I want to come document how to do a dinner party with Whimsy and Row on review.
Yes.
Wait, that
should we do like a three-way?
I love it.
Should we do
a
three-way?
Yes. Down.
Can we do like, can I document how to do like a hosting party with Whimsy and Row at your store and document it and do a whole interview around it?
We came out with like a home collection. I could get those to you guys too.
Oh my God.
Did I know that?
Obviously not, because you would have remembered.
we made like with our scraps of fabric, we made like napkins and table runners and aprons.
Oh my God, cute.
Oh my God. Oh wait, this is like so our element, because I'm going to just document the event and like write about it. And then you'll can plan it and be the host.
So unique. I feel like no one's done that.
Yeah. You guys, definitely needs a charcuterie board.
Okay, let's do it. Done.
Done. At Camber X, Whimsy and Row X review. Yes. Oh my God. I love it.
Love it.
Okay. Let everyone know where they can shop Whimsy and Row.
WhimsyandRow.com. Our handle is at Whimsy and Row.
Yeah, that's it.
And you can use the code OKSister for a little percentage off for you sisters to buy the linen pants.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Valentina top.
Yay. And where can we find you on Instagram?
You said it.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Jesus Christ. Okay. Thank you, sister.
We love you. Okay, Sister Pod. Love you.
Oh my God, that was so fun.
That was so fun.
Oh my God. That was great.